In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. If you want to know what that text of the gospel means, you can find out by reading the lives of the saints. And one of the commemorations of today are the martyrs and confessors, Prince Michael and his counselor Theodore, wonder workers of Chernigov. There may be earlier martyrs in the history of the Russian church that were martyred for their faith. Boris and Gleb are sometimes referred to as martyrs, but they were really martyred because their brother wanted the kingdom. But these martyrs were killed because of their faith, because they took a stand for their faith. They were martyred in the year 1245, and this was after the Mongols and the Tatar horde had taken over what was then the land of Rus. And prior to that, the kingdom had been very prosperous, and the faith had blossomed. But as they saw the Tatars and the Mongols approaching and making their way across towards the west, Prince Michael went to the west and tried to make alliances with kingdoms of the west to get them interested in helping them to stave off this invasion. But unfortunately, he was not successful. And so finally, the entire kingdom was devastated, and the Khan informed the people that their only choice was to submit, and so that's what the people began to do. And Saint Michael went back to his land with the intention of doing just that, to submit to the Khan because he wanted to do what he could to preserve the life of his people. And he felt like in God's providence, the Khan had been put in the position that he had, and so that this was not a wrong thing for him to do. And so he was told that he would have to go to the capital of the Golden Horde, which was a part of this Mongol alliance, and there he would have to be approved by the Khan to be essentially a vassal ruler over his area. So he went and he took with him his friend and counselor, Saint Theodore. And as part of the ritual that was associated with this, when he was to meet the Khan, he was expected to pass through the smoke of a ceremonial fire that was supposed to ritually cleanse him, and then he was to bow to the fire, which they believed to be a god, and also to bow to the pagan idols that the Khan worshipped, and then to bow to the Khan. Saint Michael informed the horde that he would not pass through the smoke, and he wouldn't bow to the fire, which the pagans worshipped, and he wouldn't bow to their idols. He said, "A Christian worships only God, the creator of the world, and not creatures." And then the Khan's attendant delivered the conditions. Either he was going to submit to the demands of these shamans, or he was going to die in torment. But this was followed by St. Michael's resolute response. He said, "I am prepared to submit to the Khan, since that God has entrusted him with the destiny of earthly kingdoms, but as a Christian, I cannot worship idols." And so he took courage in the words of the gospel, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it." And he and his devoted friend prepared themselves for a martyred death. Their spiritual father had actually given them the mysteries to take with them so that they could take communion one last time, because they were aware of the fact that this could end badly going into the capital of the Tatar horde. And so the executioners seized the prince, and for a long time they beat him fiercely, and the ground ran red with his blood. And then finally, an apostate from the Christian faith cut off his head, and he became a martyr. And then the Tatars promised St. Theodore, his counselor, that if he would just do what his prince had failed to do, that all of the honors and power that his prince would have been given would be given to him. But St. Theodore was not swayed by any of this either, and he followed the path of the prince. And after he was tormented for quite some time, he too was beheaded. And then their bodies were thrown to the dogs. But tradition tells us that the dogs didn't eat their bodies, they left them alone. And then some Christians in the area were able to secretly take their bodies and to provide them with a Christian burial, and then later their relics were taken into Russia many, many years after this. The confessor's act of defiance so amazed the Tatars that they were persuaded that it wasn't going to be very successful for them to try this again with other Russian princes, and so they decided not to try to force any more of the Russian princes to do this. And so Russia remained for quite some time under their yoke, eventually threw it off, but Russians were allowed to maintain their faith, and they never gave it up. Now, the example of these martyrs are particularly important for us because we are living in a time where there is an increased amount of pressure for us to compromise with the world, to not stand for the truth because it's going to cost you, to cave in to the immorality of this world and not take a stand, to act like we're okay with everything else that they're okay with. And we also have an increasing amount of pressure to push us to embrace what amounts to a new religion, which is not just the unity of all Christian churches in some sort of a hodgepodge church, but also mixing Christianity with other religions and even paganism. You can see this, for example, in Rome, where they had the Pachamamas in the churches. There are all kinds of examples where we've seen ecumenical dog and pony shows where even Orthodox bishops have participated in ceremonies that the martyrs Michael and Theodore would have given their lives to have avoided having anything to do with. And in all likelihood, this is going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. And so the question that we have to ask is, what is more important to us? You may be able to save your earthly life for a time by compromising with these people, but this will mean the loss of your eternal soul. Or you can choose to lay down your earthly life to gain your eternal life. Now, we know that we can't live forever, so to give up this temporal life, which you can't keep anyway, in order to gain eternal life, which once won you can't lose, is a pretty smart move. It would seem like if you really believe all these things, that shouldn't be a hard decision for you to make. It only doesn't make sense if you don't really believe in the next life. And I think that this is where the wheat and the chaff get separated, because if you don't really believe in eternal life, then it becomes a hard decision for you, because if this life is all there is for you, then yeah, saving your skin might make more sense. But if you're a believer, if you really believe the gospel, then laying down your life is not a hard decision to make. We should be willing to do that, because that's what it means to be a Christian. That is what it means to take up our cross and to follow Christ. Amen.